I don't tell you to get out a pencil or paper, whatever, but you might want to get one out this evening. And I'm going to start a few Wednesday night Bible studies. Turn in your Bible, by the way, to the 8th Psalm, Psalm 8. And I'm going to give us, I don't know how many messages, we'll see. We'll cover 3, 4, 5 a week on the names of God. Now, as you read your Bible, you will notice several different names for God. And in each name, it has a little bit different meaning. And because of that, it shows you a little bit about the nature of God and a little bit about the character of God. Now, one of those names is found right here in Psalm 8. Let me read the psalm to you. This isn't the only place this name is found, but let me start here. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now that same, well, let me tell you what that, look at verse 1 again, and you can look at verse 9 if it's in your Bible on the same page. You'll notice it says, O Lord, and then it's got a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And then it says, Our Lord, and there it has a capital L and a small ORD. Those are two separate names of God. The second one is the one that we're going to major on this evening, and that is, anybody know what that is? Faith sings a song once in a while. El Shaddai, it's not that one. El Shaddai. That's it. You couldn't go wrong. There's not that many different names there, but that's right. It's Adonai, or Adonai, however you want to say that. That's the name of God. By the way, Faith, you ought to dig that song out. You still have that song somewhere? Dig that song out, and then you can sing it for us again, and we'll know what the names of God are when you're singing, and it'll be able to make sense to us. But anyway, the first one, there is Jehovah, or Yahweh, O Lord. But the second one is Adonai. It's also found in Isaiah chapter 40 in verses 3 through 5, Ezekiel 16:8, and Habakkuk 3:19. Here in this psalm, it is used in verse 1, and it is used again. In fact, both of those names of God are used in verse 9. The first one is Jehovah, which I'll get to this later, but it means the self-existent eternal one. But the second one, Adonai, the one that we want to focus on tonight, means sovereign, it means controller, it means master, and it means owner. So God is all of those things. He is our sovereign, he is our controller, he is our master, and he owns us. Now, if you want to know the easiest way to find out what names they are, you get your concordance out, if you have a Strong's concordance, and you find the name Lord, because it's both in this one, and over to the right, it gives you a Hebrew number for the first one. It's like 3068, and then the second one, it's 113. So then you turn to the back of your concordance in the Hebrew, and it'll give you the different names. That's the easiest way to figure out what names these are. Now, if you don't have a concordance, you can't do that. But it's really not that difficult to figure out what names of God are in there. And then usually, not all the time, but most of the time, it'll give you a definition next to whatever the Hebrew word is, or if it's in the New Testament, it'll be the Greek word. So it means, then, Adonai, my Lord, or the great Lord, or God is the master. Meaning God is the total, or God is the final authority. God has every right to rule and to reign and control our lives. My responsibility to Adonai is to obey him. We are to submit to his lordship. More specifically, we should say, we are to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. God is master. He is Lord. He is sovereign. And God is in control of me. I am to submit to him. So as you think about this name of God, and anytime you come across the names of God, as you think about the names of God, there's something you should do. And that is simply this. What does this mean to me? What does God's name, Adonai, what does it mean to you? And when you study your Bible, you know when you read a psalm, you'll see the word Selah every once in a while. We don't always read that word when we're reading through a psalm, but that simply means stop and meditate on what you just read. So you read down through here, and we've read, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, wherever I was reading that, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What does that mean to you? What does Adonai, how do you apply that name of God? How do you find application for your daily life in that? What should I do with that? Now you notice this psalm. It describes man's dominion over the universe. But God is over man. Thus we are to exalt the Creator. And if you'll notice again verse 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. When I consider this stuff, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Our God is Adonai. Now that's the Hebrew word. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament Greek word, the New Testament's written in Greek, is for the name of the Lord, or it would be Lord Jesus, but it would be the word Kyrios. And that also means master, owner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. What was the price? What was the price that God paid to buy you back to himself? Christ's death, even a little more. His precious blood. The blood of Christ, Jesus bought you back with his precious blood. He said, you are not your own. You belong to God. You have a new master now that you're saved. And you don't do whatever you want to do with yourself. You are to live within the boundaries of God's word, so to speak. He's my owner. Adonai also expresses the idea that he is my master. One of the definitions, I think, in Vine's dictionary, expository dictionary of New Testament words, is the one whose service is due on any ground. Because he is my master, I have a responsibility to serve him. He is God Adonai. In Peter's very first sermon, in Acts 2, verse 36, the Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's not only Christ, he's Lord. He's to be our Lord. Throughout the New Testament, you will find the title used both of Jesus and the Father, or God the Father. So what does that show? That shows that Jesus, the Son, and God the Father are co-equal. In fact, that Jesus himself is indeed God. And as you read your New Testament, you'll find the title, the Lord Jesus, used multiple, I don't know how many times. I know when I looked up the word Lord in my concordance, I can promise you I didn't count the references and I didn't look them all up because it was page after page after column after column. I said, well, I'll just say there's a lot of them in there. That's all I can tell you. If you want to count them, have a good time. But there really is a lot. But you find that title, Lord Jesus, a lot. So remember this. He possesses supreme authority over me. Ultimately, the question is this. Am I willing to submit to him? When I thought about this name, when I was working on this Bible study yesterday, I thought about this. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. And he has every right to rule in my heart and in my life. And he has a right to tell me what to do. And I have a responsibility to submit to him. So that's the name Adonai. There's a second name Actually, there's a couple other names I'd like to consider tonight. But there's another one, and it's El. It's a Hebrew word, El. Simply E-L. Now, let me just say this. So, I mentioned that song. Faith has sang it before. Hope you can find it so you can sing it again. But it starts out with El Shaddai, which there's a meaning for that word, but we won't look at that tonight. But there is a lot of those names, E-L-L, that actually there's El, and there's El Shaddai, and there's other names that begin with that. There's the most common Old Testament name of God, Yahweh, or we say Jehovah. And there's Jehovah, but there's a whole lot of other names like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, that are associated with that name Jehovah. And so there's this whole litany of names. I think there's like 21 different, that don't quote me on that because that might be wrong, but there's like 21 Old Testament names of God. And they all have a little bit different meaning, and they all reveal to us something about God. So this one, El, E-L, just for the sake of, I got several references here, but I think this one gives it away the best. Numbers 23:22. So this is the God's name, El, E-L. It's used here with simply with the word God. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Who can take a guess what the name El means? Now, here's the other problem. When you read your Bible, you don't normally read it with a Hebrew Bible sitting next to you, so you're not going to know which one it is by necessarily just reading this. So next to that, you might want to write the word El. But what if you look at that verse, can you figure out what that name means? I'll give you a hint. It's in the word strength. It means this. God is the strong one. Now listen, it doesn't mean that he is one of the strong ones. It means that he is the strong one. That means this. No one else has his power. There is no false god. In fact, you can take all the false gods and add all the power they have all together, and they don't have the power of our God, El. He is the strong one. He's more powerful than any of the false god, and that says to me, you know what? If God's that powerful, I can count on him. I can trust him. I can rely on him. In all the forms of El, it's used, in all honesty, well over 100 times in the Old Testament. He is more powerful than any other false god. He can, and let me say this, he will overcome all obstacles, and we can depend upon him. You know that song, I sing it with the kids sometimes during the summer, Our God is an Awesome God. How's it go? He rules from heaven. I have to sing it in my head so I can remember, but you know the song. Our God is an awesome God, and that's what that says. There's a third name that I would like to bring you to. Let me take a guess. Let's say Psalm 68:8. Some of these are a little bit more difficult to figure out which ones are which just by a casual reading of your Bible. Psalm 68:8. We'll read a few here. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God. Now notice what it says here. The God of Israel. Now, go to Psalm 106 and verse 48. That's the only other reference I'll look at. They're both in Psalms, so they're easy to look at here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. So it says that in both, so that's a hint to you what it means. From everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, praise ye the Lord. Now, this is another one of those El names, and it's El-El-O-Hay, or E-L-E-L-O-H-A-Y, just kind of like hay, like a bale of hay. It's also used in Genesis 33:20. Now, what does this mean? The Lord God of Israel. What does that name mean? It means the God of Israel is distinct and separate from all other gods. So here is El Elohe, and he is distinctly distinct, separate from all other gods. Now, you should know this. You better know this. What makes our God, if there's one thing, you can probably think of several, so let me rephrase. If there is one thing that makes Christians' God absolutely distinct from all other gods of the world, what is it? Good job. You better have known that one. Good job. The resurrection. It is the one thing that makes our God stand distinctly different from all other gods of the world. No other religion or no other sect or however you want to say that can boast of a living Savior. And so now we're coming into the Easter season, and not this Sunday or not the next Sunday, but the following Sunday, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And that's what makes him distinct. He's alive, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he can do? He can forgive our sins. No other God can forgive sins. Only our God can forgive sins. So he is distinctly distinct, if that makes any sense. No other God, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. No other God boasts of being alive. But if I were to take 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses here, and then a couple other ones. Verse 1. If I took this evidence, if I had evidence like this in court, I'd win. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which also I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Our God's the only one that you can say he's alive and he rose again. And that he, now watch, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Cephas is another name for who? Peter. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. If I went into a courtroom with 500 witnesses, eyewitnesses, I promise you I would win that case. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So now we've got more eyewitnesses. At last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. That was Paul writing. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, go down to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Let me get you to think here for a minute. In this fall, I hope I get to go out and pick a nice, ripe, red tomato off one of my tomato plants. I can't stand buying tomatoes from a store. I just as soon chew on a piece of cardboard just to eat a tomato from a store. Nonetheless, I want to go out there and finally, and I'll, you know, once they come on, I'll go out every day and I'll look for that first red one. And I'll check all my plants and I get my first red one. The first fruit is a guarantee of what? More fruit to come. So, when the Bible says here in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So Jesus was the first to die, to rise, to never die again. Because others died in Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was dead, and Lazarus arose. But Lazarus died again. Jesus was the first to die and rise and to never die again. So, what does it say in verse 23? It's a guarantee of more fruit to come, but every man in his own order. Now, I won't go into the resurrection order, but there is an order to the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And so we ultimately will be part of this after the first fruit Christ rose, there's a guarantee. Now, all of this, there is a harvest, and we are part of that harvest. No other religion can boast of a resurrected Savior. But Eloi is distinct from all other gods. Now, again, as you think about these names, what does it mean to you? How do you apply these names to your life? Adonai, my great God. God who is my total authority. The one who has the right to rule over me is my Lord and my Master and my Sovereign and my Controller. El, the strong one, more powerful than all other gods combined. I can depend upon him. El Eloi, the God of Israel, who is distinct from all other gods. There is no other God like our God. Our God is an awesome God. He really is. But more than just learning what these names mean, what do they mean to you? What do they do for your heart? How do you apply them to your life? Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but knowledge alone is not enough. It has to mean something in the spiritual level. It has to mean something to us. Well, we'll stop there. We'll look at three or four or whatever next week also. Father, as we begin to contemplate your names through the Old Testament, and Lord willing, when we get to the New Testament, the names of our Savior, we need to ponder these things. Or as the different authors of the Psalm said, Selah, stop and meditate. Adonai, El, Elohe, different names, but there's more. And they all tell us just a little bit more about you. And all of these traits, you possess them all. You are distinct because you are the only God who is alive. You are all-powerful. We can depend upon you. And you are our master. And we have a responsibility to submit and walk in obedience. And I pray, Lord, that we'll enjoy this study, but we'll learn how to apply it to our life as well. In Jesus' name, amen.